If you're not done by 10, I'll cut you off. But okay. You're good.
You're good to. Okay. All right. Good morning, everybody. So the topic that I was asked to speak about, that Rabbi Greijauer suggested, as he just noted, is how to sort of become a Talmud Chacham if your destiny is not to learn in the mirror for the next 20 years. Meaning, obviously, there is a mahalich that gives you a much better chance of success at being a Talmud Chacham and knowing vast amounts of Torah if your life trajectory will bring you to sit and learn for decades full time. And someone's going to support you doing that. That's wonderful. But for most of us, that's probably not what's in the cards for us. And therefore, we're not pater from becoming Talmidei Chacham. No matter what we do for a living, we're not pater from becoming Talmidei Chacham. And no matter what community we're in and what our life circumstances are, and no matter how much of a stress of earning parnasa and things of that nature, we all have to become Talmidei Chachamim. But it's a little bit tricky because everyone defines Talmud Chacham a little bit differently. Rav Shechter once told me that someone called him up and asked about a shidduch for a guy, for his daughter, about a guy in Rav Shechter's shir, and Rav Shechter happened to know this guy. He was in a shir and he happened to know him, and he said, the guy said, the father of the girl said, is he a Talmud Chacham? So Rav Shechter said, I know this guy. His rabbi's not a Talmud Chacham, but I know from his perspective, a Talmud Chacham means someone who even knows how to read the Rashi letters. He doesn't only know how to read the screen, he even knows how to read the Rashi letters. So I said, yeah, he's a Talmud Chacham, because you have to speak the language that the person is talking, because to him, that's the definition of a Talmud Chacham. I can assure you that guy is going around saying, my son-in-law, Rav Shechter, said he's a Talmud Chacham. that he meant he just knows how to read Rashi letters, maybe. But the definition is a little bit of a tricky definition. For our purposes, let's define it as somebody who has something to say in learning on most major issues. Meaning, when you ask, oh, what are you learning? Oh, I'm learning Gittin. Oh, that's so nice. That's about get, right? It should be something more. There should be something that you have something to say, on what the sugyas you're learning are. Not necessarily to the level of, let's say, Rav Sachs is going to be here today, where, you tell him what daf you're on, and, he came to Kaylee this year. I never saw him do this before. He always comes in and says, what are you learning? And then just says a shir on it, right? But he did this. He said to all the guys, what did you guys learn this year? Gittin, Basra, Kiddushin, what happened? Yeah, that. And then he included all of it in the shir. That was crazy. Right? So I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about doing something to that level, but to have what to say in learning and major sugyas. Now, clearly, part of anybody's definition of a Talmud Chacham has to be midos tovos, including anivos, probably most prominently. That's a gemara that the Torah is like mayim. It goes to the lowest place, the gemara Maseches Tainis. So clearly, that has to be part of anybody's definition of a Talmud Chacham, but I'm not going to elaborate on that right now. We're going to be focused more on Eitzahs in terms of how to maximize your learning. And you should realize that this is not only a challenge for people who are going into other fields, whether it be law or medicine or nursing homes or whatever other two or three professions from Jews do, but it's also for mechanchim. People are going into chinuch very often don't push themselves to grow in learning. Especially in many schools, you're teaching the same thing every year. And people start defining their learning by what they're teaching. But if it's the same thing every year, they're never growing. Rabbi Saul Reisman told me he almost didn't go into chinuch because he saw so many rebbeim that were like teaching the same thing every year. They went home in the afternoon. He's like, I don't know what they were doing. He said, I tried to talk to them and learning, they have nothing to say. And they're just totally burnt out. They've just been doing the same thing for 30, 40 years and totally burnt out and aren't growing at all. He said it almost pushed him away from going into chinuch because he felt like he needed to go into something else, into the bakery business and make brownie bars his whole life, because then at least his morning seder will be a morning seder. It's just so it's a challenge for everybody. So what I'd like to give is, over the next 20 minutes or so, five basic eitzahs in terms of how to maximize our learning. Because there is something to spending a lot of years learning, and if you have the opportunity to learn in Kollel after you graduate college, then then do that. Even if you're planning on going to graduate school, learn for a year or two. Learn for, if you're going to go for smicha, if you're able to get into the Kol Elyon and learn that way or go to, good. It's all good. Learn as much as you can. It's not always practical, but learn as much as you can. But you know, we're going to ignore, you know, the number of years and sort of focus on the number of minutes in the day, the number of hours in the day, and what you do when you're learning, like how to actually maximize your learning. So the first and most important element is, and always has been and always will be, Hasmada. You know, you could talk all you want about Rav Schachter's genius, and yes, he is a genius. It's an ongoing debate between me and Rav Shai Schachter. Rav Shai Schachter says, my father's not a genius. He's just a big masmid. No, he is a genius, and he's a big masmid. So you could talk all you want about his genius. Without the Hasmada, he doesn't become who he becomes. But I want to talk about Hasmada on three levels. First of all, Hasmada means that you have a place, that you have a makom, that you have a base medrash that you belong to. Wherever you are in life, if you're going to rely on all of your learning being done in your home study, in your basement, at your dining room table or whatever, some learning should definitely be done that way because children should see that their father learns. But there should be a makom where there are other people around, where other people know if you're there at night seder or at morning seder. There is a certain social pressure that's created in a positive way that you're part of this chevra of people that go out to learn in the shul or in the base medrash, in the local base medrash, either in the morning or night. My personal preference is early morning. I think early morning is there are much fewer distractions and fewer things that come up in the morning. But to have that sense of kavios is very important. Now, there are always excuses why you can't be learning. Now, I'm feeling so well today. This came up, that came up. And many of the excuses are valid, and Anus Rachmana Patre, but Anus Rachmana does not make a Talmud Chacham. It's just Patre, so you'll be an Amaretz with a good excuse. But a person has to be consistent in their learning, and you have to show up. And you know what? Learning Torah is super geschmack, but it's not always super geschmack, let's be honest. Sometimes it's like absolute drudgery. Sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get through this again? It's just like really, really difficult. It's not at all interesting to me. And you have to show up even then. You have to push through even then, meaning that there is a certain amount of discipline that comes with it. And that takes me to my second point of Hasmada, and that is that you can't be lazy in your learning itself, meaning sometimes we rely too heavily on secondary sources. We're not, you know, Rabbi Reisman told my Talmidim, told the guys from Keli a Maisa just a couple of weeks ago. He said that he was... He wasn't sure on Simchas Torah when there are only two Levim in the crowd. So what do you do when they keep going around? They have a whole bunch more Kohanim, and they have, does a Kohen have to get both Aliyos every time? Meaning the Levim already got their Aliyos. So you have to give a Kohen both Aliyos? Or can you call Yisrael b'makom Levi at that point in time, if the Levi already got his Aliyos? So he said they were doing Hakafas in Tar Vidas, and he asked Rav Pam. And Rav Pam said, I think there's a Meshev Davar. I think the Netziv says that you do Yisrael b'makom Levi, because there's a Bach that says that the Torah has such a lashon of Yisrael b'makom Levi, and the Bach says that's the only application of where you have Yisrael b'makom Levi. So he said, I think there's such a Meshev Davar. He said, but come with me. He said, it was raining outside. Rav Pam lived two blocks away from the yeshiva, and they walked two blocks to Rav Pam's house. I guess they didn't have a Meshev Davar in the yeshiva. That's a Pella, but I don't know. They walked two blocks to Rav Pam's house in the rain, in the middle of Hakafos, and Rav Pam was the Rosh Yeshiva. Now, for those of you who love Hakafos as much as I do, that's like, yes, you know, like, but okay, but I'm going to leave my Litvish stuff aside. But they walked two blocks to Rav Pam's house. Rav Pam pulls out a Meshev Davar, and on the way out, someone said, where are you going? And he said, oh, we're looking up this Meshev Davar, and the person said, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was Rosh Yeshiva here. He paskined already that you're allowed to do Yisrael B'makom Levi. So, no, we got to look it up. So they looked it up. They went to Rav Pam's house. They looked it up. On the way back, Rabbi Reisman says to Rav Pam, the guy told us, Rabbi Yaakov Paskin, this way, you have a pretty good memory. You remember, you're like, what do we need to go two blocks in the middle of Hakafos for? So he said, a person needs to be erlich with himself. Person needs to be honest with himself also. Sometimes, like, we make hasharos, we make, it's roughly, someone said roughly that. You know, look it up. If you have the opportunity to look it up, black and white, see what it says. Don't be lazy. A person has to be honest with himself. And then the third point of Hasmada is, again, not only having a makom to learn, and not only about not being lazy in your learning, and you know, and chasing things down properly, but also, and this I think to me is the most important point, is there's a lot of time where we're just not doing anything during the day. You're walking to shul, you're standing in line in a bank or in a grocery store or something. You're just not doing anything. A person should train, and you don't have a sefer with you always. There are some people that always have a sefer with them. Most people don't always have a sefer with them. You're sitting at a chuppah, so Rabbi Kamenetsky, when he sits at a chuppah, has his masifta, and he's going through the daf yomi always. He's always spending every moment learning. But most of us don't. Most of us, it's a very good idea to train yourself to think in learning. Those are valuable moments. That's real time that you could just be thinking and learning. You could be thinking about the sugya that you've been doing. You could think about a kasha that you've had. And that way, when you strike up a conversation with the Talmud Chacham, you know, sometimes, you ever been in a situation where, like, you're somewhere and unexpectedly, like, there's Rabbi Sabalovsky or there's Rav Shachter, and like, what do I talk to him about? Like, what do I? It's good to have like a kasha on your mind. It's good to have like a sugya that you're working through that you could then have a conversation. Otherwise, it's baltashkes that you just wasted that interaction with a major Talmud Chacham. But it's also just good for you. You know, I once heard Dr. Tova Lichtenstein say that her father kept Rav Salvechik kept a very normal schedule. He went to sleep on time. He woke up on time. It was a very normal schedule. It wasn't one of these like feeding a bucket of ice water and tying his payas up to the, he's just a very normal schedule. But she said he was always thinking and learning. You could see his mind was always going and learning. He was always thinking and learning. So that's an important thing to train oneself to do. A second Eitzah, which is much more challenging, I would think, than the first Eitzah, is, there's a Mishnah that says, Pas b'melach tochal. So, okay, we're not holding by Pas b'melach tochal, by living such a sparing life. But the level of Gashmius that we sometimes demand for ourselves is overwhelming and makes life overwhelming very often. I mean, trying to keep up could be very overwhelming. Just trying to keep up with the things you need to do could be very overwhelming in the long run. But certainly, if you're trying to chase things that are excesses, that could be very, very overwhelming. And part of this is most of you aren't married yet. Finding a nice low maintenance girl, part of it is, I don't know if that's controversial to say or not, but finding someone whose needs are not so lofty in terms of gashmius. Rav Yehudah Goldwicht had a great ha'ara. He said, there's a din called Loeg L'Rush, that if you go to a cemetery, I was just at a cemetery yesterday for a levaya, the halacha is supposed to tuck in your tzitzis. Why? Because you're mocking the mason. It's Loeg L'Rush that you're mocking the mason, that I'm able to do mitzvahs. So, there's no halacha. If you want, you could fly your private jet, land on the runway right next to the cemetery, walk into the cemetery with your custom-made suit, your Rolex, and everything else, and there's no Loeg L'Rush. There's no Loeg L'Rush on that. There's no din of Loeg L'Rush. Why is there no din of Loeg L'Rush on that? Because they don't care. Because it's stupid. It doesn't matter. The Mesim aren't jealous of things like that. They're jealous of your tzitzis. So it's important for a person to try to keep some level of perspective in terms of what our needs are and what our needs aren't. And of course, we look to Gedolim for inspiration, even though we don't live at their level. Rav Shai Shachter told me that that when he was in Rav Asher Arieli's shir in the mirror, and this is not what I'm suggesting we all do. This is Rav Asher Arieli, it's not us. But he said when he was in Rav Asher Arieli's shir in the mirror, there were a bunch of guys that used to go to Rav Asher's apartment to get like a little extra chazara shir or something with him, guys who have been in the shir for like 30 years or something. And they noticed when they went to Rav Asher's apartment that he had clotheslines in the hallway with his clothing and his family's clothing drying, which means the family doesn't have a dryer. So they went to the 800 guys in Rav Asher Arieli's shir in the mirror, and they said, if everyone could chip in 2 shekel, right? I don't know, something like that, we should be able to buy Rav Asher Arieli a dryer. So everyone chipped in. They did the math. It was a shekel and 75 agorot or something, and everyone chipped in, and they presented Rav Asher Arieli with a dryer. And he said, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it. But when my wife and I got married, we made a decision that this is something that we don't need. And we decided that what our standard of living is, and that's our standard of living, and we live by that commitment, and that's how we're able to do what we do. Again, that's a gadol story, and it was a huge headache to return a shekel and 75 agurot to 800 people and track them all down and find them. And, you know, but the idea just that sometimes we could do with a little bit less. Sometimes we could do with without all the gashmius in the entire world. You know, and even if you can't afford it. But let's move on to three more quick etzas. Number one, I mean, I guess number three. So again, first is hasmada, and hasmada meant several things, but including thinking and learning. Second is pasmel tochal, a person should live a little bit of a more lower maintenance life, and maybe even when you're choosing a community, try to find a community where lower maintenance is more than the norm and is more standard. A third etza is in learning, to test yourself in learning. Make it that, you know, goes back to what Rav Palm said about being erlich with yourself. Rabbi Rosner, Shlita, takes Dirshu Bechinas every month. He takes the Daf Yomi Dirshu. I learn Daf Yomi, and the second I say the shir, I forget the Daf Yomi, because it's not the shir that I have to say next. Whatever shir I'll say next, then I'll know that, and then I'll forget it right afterwards. But if a person's really honest with themselves, they'll test themselves on it. They'll make sure that they know it. They'll push themselves to try to know something. You know, much of the success of Smichas Chaver is because people take Bechinas on it, which is, like, very surprising. You know, you would think, well, about aren't interested in. They already passed their bar exam. They don't want to have to take another exam every 6 months on a significant amount of material. But they love it because they feel accomplished, and because it is accomplishment. So it's good to be erlich with yourself by taking bechinas in whatever limud there is, and there are so many programs that are out there. A fourth bit of advice is to write. You should, as you learn, to me, I find it's much harder for me sometimes to learn on Shabbos than it is during the week. Because during the week, I'm able to write as I learn. So, first of all, it's much easier to focus for me when I'm writing, but also much easier to organize your thoughts. Because, again, you can't lie to the piece of paper. I mean, if you're right, in your head, everything sounds good. But if you're able to put pen to paper, you're able to put it all in an outline, you're able to figure out, or on a computer, whatever, you're able to figure out how to best present it. Not because you're interested in publishing svarim or anything like that, but just to write your learning, and you'll see over time it builds up. You know, the famous Marsha in the Gemara in Bava Basra, Asher Misha Balakan v'Talmuda Biyado. Marsha says it means that someone who writes their learning, someone who takes good notes in their learning. And when I say writing, I don't just mean taking good notes on other people's shiurim. That's also good, by the way. Whenever you hear a shtickel Torah, you're somewhere. It doesn't have to be the main shiur that you go to that you take notes on. If you're at a Shevardnadze and someone says a Shtickel Torah, write it down. You're at someone, you know, someone is saying Torah and it's good, you know, write it down. But I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about your own learning, just organizing your own learning through writing. You know, my brother once gave me a bit of mussar. Before I published my first Sefer, my brother said to me, you know, you could study Rav Shechter's Sfarim all day. You're never going to know Rav Shechter's Torah the way Rav Shechter knows Rav Shechter's Torah, because it's his Torah, meaning he's the one that made that Torah. You have to have your Torah. So is it going to be as good? No, but it will be yours, and you'll know it a lot better. And that's something that really resonated with me. We just visited with Kaylee, we just visited Rav David Cohn recently. Rav David Cohn has written, I don't know, 50, 60 Svarim, something like that. How do his Svarim get written? His son told me, his son Ami told me that he keeps lists of things. As he's learning, he writes, oh, that's an interesting thing, where Chazal said something scientific that seemed wrong, and then it turns out later it's right. Let me write that down. Or that's interesting. There's a Rashi Tevis that was elaborated on incorrectly or improperly. Let me write that. And he just keeps lists and lists of things. And when the list gets big enough, he publishes a Sefer. Meaning he's always just writing lists of interesting things. Rabbi Rosner was like this also. Rabbi Rosner always, every Masechta we would do, he'd have a list of, like, something that was unique in that Masechta, of a Yesod that seemed to emerge at the beginning of the Masechta, and let's see how many times it would come up again in the Masechta. And he'd pull out his list, and he'd just write it down. And that's a very important part of learning. And a final etza is that a person should have goals, not just in echos, but in kamos. That as much as we say we want to make sure that we understand everything to the nth degree and we get everything all the way to the end, it's very easy to just get lazy if you don't make actual demands of yourself and how much ground, how much material you're going to cover. And the way that you learn is very important also. You know, Rav Stav and Karen Biavni used to tell us that if you want to be a lawyer, you go to law school, you study exactly what they tell you to study for 3 years, and then you do exactly as you're told, and after 3 years, you're a lawyer. You want to go be a doctor, you go to medical school, you do exactly what they tell you for 4 years, and if you do exactly what they tell you after 4 years, you're a doctor. He said, you want to be a Talmud Chacham, you go to yeshiva for 5 years, you do exactly what they tell you to do, you learn exactly how they tell you to learn, and after 5 years, you're Nama Aretz. He says, because unfortunately, a lot of the way the learning goes in yeshiva is so much focus on prate pratim that come up in exactly one place in Shas, and not looking for the klalim in learning, which is really what it's all about, to try to develop a sense of what's a klal, what's something that applies to all of Shas, what's something that can apply to my learning everywhere, and that's just a matter of a focus. You can have one person learning for 10 hours, but he's focused on an insignificant detail, and every word of Torah is significant. Okay, you'll give me the Mussar Shmuz after, but he's focused on an insignificant detail, if there is such a thing, and if you're focused on what the sugi is really about, you can learn for 2 hours and accomplish more than the guy who's learning for 10 hours. Again, better to learn for 10 hours than to learn for 2 hours, but you have to maximize the time that you spend learning. So again, to summarize, 5 basic etzos. Number 1, hasmada. But hasmada means 3 things. It means having a makom to be a masmid, having an actual physical location with other people there. It means not being lazy, chasing everything down, looking things up. It means thinking and learning also in your downtime. 2nd, pas b'melach tochal. The person should try to do with a little bit less than normal, than he's able to afford, or than maybe the community standards around him is a really good idea. Number 3, to test yourself. Make sure that you're being ehrlich with yourself, and therefore, if someone is giving you a test, or you have to be able to answer the questions. You know, it's one of the big chesronos of very often yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. They're very often no bechinas, and I feel like that's terrible. Meaning, there it was one of the, when I was teaching a lander, it was a big fight among the not a fight a respectful dispute among the rebbeim whether there should be bechinas. So some said, make the kids feel like guys feel like babies that you give them bechinas. I thought not. I thought if you give bechinas, it really makes you. Yeah, you ever been in the YU Beis Medrash right before Rav Rosenzweig bechina? Like the guys are like going berserk, or before Kol bechina, Rav Shechter's Kolel. The whole Beis Medrash is buzzing with whatever 10 blood Rav Shechter was doing. It changes the whole level of the limud when there's a sense of achrayus, and that sense of achrayus can continue. Number 4, to write while you learn, to write things, whether it's rishimos or whether it's outlines of the sugya, or whether it's just the basic points the Gemara is making and the Rishonim are making, just to write, to be able to put things in writing, and you'll develop your own style in writing as you do it more and more over time. And number 5, to have goals in quantity also, and it doesn't have to be significant. A small quantity of learning one day after the next really, really builds up over time, and it really becomes something. So these are some etzos. I'm sure many of you have many more etzos, but some etzos that came to mind when thinking about how to become a Talmud Chacham, even if you're not going to be learning for 20 years in the mirror. Okay, everyone, have a great day.
Thank you. Good learning, boys. Good learning.